All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis. Hey.
And we're here to talk a little DFS baseball with you. We had a little scheduling snafu yesterday, so there's no podcast yesterday, but we're back in the saddle again today and here for the long term for the rest of the baseball season. NFL coming really soon, so we're really excited. If this is your first time with us, we're DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. Here to help you get started for DFS, MLB, and like I said, NFL, for FanDuel and DraftKings. You head over to our site and you get the free content you need to get yourself started, and you can also grab a free three-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You're all set to go, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and that is really all you need to get started in DFS. James, we have a pretty interesting slate of baseball. Well, let me ask you this. How are you doing today?
No, I really appreciate you asking that, man, because when I can't just gaze into your eyes while we're doing the podcast like I was able to all last week, it's not quite the same, you know? Like, I can't see you clicking furiously, getting mad at the microphone and scolding me for putting my feet up on the little stool that holds the microphone and all that stuff. So I got to say, it's different. You know, it's got its pros and cons, but
All the little picadillos that make this thing kind of work.
Yeah, exactly. All in all, though, I'm doing okay. Just okay.
Okay, so we're going to talk a Tuesday slate of baseball. Like, there's actually a doubleheader today with the Cubs and Brewers, and that game is the 1 o'clock one is on the all day slate. I'm going to ignore that one and then just mostly focus on the evening games here. And let's start with the pitching. I think the pitching's interesting today because whenever there's a game in Coors, we really have to make the sort of fundamental decision of what are we going to pay for. I mean, not all the time. When the pitching options are there, when the expensive pitching options are there,
right,
we have to make this sort of this determination of what is worth paying for and what is not worth paying for on a certain slate. And today is striking me sort of as one of those days. What do you see? You know, when your first sort of bird's eye view of pitching today, what kind of popped out to you?
I think it's ultimately going to come down to, you know, I guess what you just said a little bit, but there are, you know, a couple of really nice options on the top end. In our system, it's Corey Kluber and Noah Syndergaard. Both are, you know, seem like fantastic options for cash games. Syndergaard gets a little bit of a question mark for me just because Arizona is such a decided hitter's park. Braden Shipley has been kind of reasonable so far this season. But, you know, and all that said, though, it's still a total, and that game is 8 with the Mets favored. So it's not terrible, but not a slam dunk like Syndergaard often is, especially when he's pitching at home. And then you go over to Kluber, you know, he's getting the White Sox away from their solid home park, so you got to love that. The White Sox themselves are below the pack in terms of hitting right-handed pitching this season. So both of those are very, very reasonable, but, you know, to your point, it's going to be really hard to fit in all those. There's some really juicy Coors bats today, too, so I'm a little torn, but where would you go if you go a little cheaper today?
Well, okay, let me just rewind back to the Kluber and Syndergaard for a second. So it's funny about the Diamondbacks and the White Sox. So they both come below, you know, you mentioned they both come below average in terms of hitting against right-handed pitching this year. And also that's non-park adjusted. So they both just get gifted with being able to hit in these sweet hitters parks and still stink.
Sure. Well, the Diamondbacks are also hitting in that sweet hitters park today.
No, I know. I understand that. But I'm saying that overall, they're still worse than like their full season. It strikes me that their full season stats are probably still worse than they are. But I know it's evened out by they're actually in the park today. But they're just like they're just such a bad team against righties in general, yeah. and they double down on that by making bad lineup decisions, like we said before, hitting Michael Bourne second instead of Jake Lamb, and then really after that they just don't even have another lefty bat that worries you at all. So I like Syndergaard from that point of view, from the strikeout point of view, but I'm a little worried, like, you know what you mentioned, I'm a little worried about the park. So I think I would, of those two teams, I would lean Kluber. He just has just a slightly better, all other things added in for me, with park and with matchup. So, and the price is close enough that I think Kluber ends up being sort of the chalk expensive play today.
All that with the caveat that, well, I guess there's two nods in Syndergaard's favor for what it's worth. Syndergaard is just a better pitcher than Kluber.
Agreed.
I don't know if the public perception on that holds up, but you know, the peripherals are just, they look comparable when you first look at them, but the difference between 163 strikeouts for Syndergaard and I think it's like 135 for Kluber in almost the same innings. Oh, yeah, so Kluber's essentially a one-to-one guy. Kluber's pitched 23 more innings this year and has 8 fewer strikeouts than Syndergaard. So that extra K per nine does make a pretty big difference. And then the other big difference is, again, the National League Park does mitigate some of the general park factors. But I don't know. I could go either way on there. It's kind of a coin flip for me.
I'm with you. I think, like I've said before, we've talked about this before, I think Syndergaard is an elite pitcher, and Kluber is just, you know, that maybe one step down from elite. I just like the other factors that are going for each of them today. I just prefer Kluber. Now, you mentioned going cheaper side. I know you asked me, but I'm going to turn it back around to you, because I feel like I talked for more during that time.
Well, you're the host, you know, so.
I know, well, that's why I'm supposed to.
I got to trust your judgment and your direction.
Well, it's hard being the host and the personality, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like.
And the producer.
And the guest, basically. Like, I would call myself, yeah, like, all of them, and then there's just someone else on there, so it's just not me talking the whole time. So that's always the struggle here, but.
Yeah, it's quite a dance, dude. I imagine when the oral history of DFSR is finally done,
yeah,
and it comes out, you know, I assume we're not going to put this out there because I know you're super humble about this, but when it finally comes out, all that you do, especially to produce the podcast, it's going to be a jaw dropper for sure.
Well, I'll probably write it, to be honest with you. I mean,
who else will?
That's exactly right. My question is, like, you're not going to write it, clearly. I mean, so who's going to write it? All right, so after those two guys, which are the two, which are tier one price pitchers, if we're looking to save to pay up for those Coors bats, and a couple other offenses in nice spots today also. But is there a cheaper option out there that you can talk yourself into? And I'm mostly for cash and for this initial part of the discussion. Like, is there anything that's even remotely safe here?
Yeah, so the guy showing up on our system right now is Blake Snell. And it's actually kind of funny. We had a one chatter in particular who thought we should have played him last time around when he was up against Toronto. That didn't work out so well. His most disastrous start of the season, so I suspect if he's showing up places today, people are going to have questions the other way, which is the most exhausting thing to deal with. But so what's going on with Blake Snell? So Blake Snell is a pretty erratic pitcher. That's first things first. Anyone with 31 walks and 56 innings pitched is not going to be a guy who you're going to – people will say, how confident are you feeling in whoever? Well, sometimes it's right to make a bet that you're not as confident in as you are some other times. But so all that said, I'm not super, super confident as of right now that he's going to go out there and dominate or anything. But if you look at the factors in his favor today, I mean, if you just juxtapose the two different starts, so the Blue Jays, who are one of the very best teams in the league against left-handed pitching in one of the best hitters' parks in all of the major leagues, to transitioning to Tampa Bay, which is one of the best pitchers' parks in the majors, and in particular for a flyball pitcher like Snell, and against the Padres, who I've actually posted above average WOBA against left-handed pitchers this season, but who do strike out at one of the very highest rates in the league. You can make a much better case for him, in my opinion. It still feels a little bit like a big tournament play to me, if we're being totally honest right now. But it's, you know, it's hard for human beings to assess the difference. You know, it's always going to feel like a tournament play when you're not playing the top ace guys. So ultimately, I probably just will trust the projection system and whatever it finds to be the optimal solution there.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm kind of with you there. It doesn't feel great when you stare at Kluber and Syndergaard, and then you're like, well, you know what? I'm going to fade those two guys and then pitch Blake Snell, who's, I mean, even in a short sample, has been worse at home, even though it doesn't stand, like, it doesn't feel like it should be the case. And it wasn't even like a bad luck thing. He's just been straight up worse, really, just in almost every thing except for strikeouts. But you know, the Padres, you know, you said they're better against lefty bats in the season, which is true. I mean, some of that could be a little bad bippy. It's hard to tell with them, like, exactly what kind of team they are. they've switched personnel a lot this year, so even adding more lefty, they've added more lefty bats to the lineup over the course of the year. So, like, there's been more Jankowski, more Schimpf, more Dickerson in the short term. That stands to reason, like, that would be worse against lefties, though. So it's just, they're a very, very difficult team to evaluate in terms of, like, what are they as a squad when you're facing them. And I'm with you. I'm a little worried that we're going to get sort of toward game time, and it's just going to say jam those Coors bats and these Texas bats and some other teams in there and roll with Snell, because his makeup stands to read, like, he is a prospect, so, like, his makeup is going to trump into what he's actually done this year. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm a little bit worried.
Worth noting, if you're just comparing it to Vegas, right? So Snell is at the Rays, minus 163 with an 8 total in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Snell, obviously, the pitcher for the Rays. Syndergaard, -163 with an 8 total against the Diamondbacks. So that's what, you know, one of the major things the system is seeing. And frankly, Vegas is seeing the same thing. So, you know, if that's a tiebreaker for you, now obviously Snell is going to do less around the total and the win potential and all right. that stuff. He doesn't go as deep into games and he's more erratic. The walk rate's worse and so is the strikeout rate. So he's not the same pitcher, but if you're looking from a strict runs allowed perspective, you know, last start notwithstanding, he only gave up 2 runs, but he only pitched 1 inning. He's only given up more than 2 runs once since the beginning of July. So
right, so you get a similar money line and similar implied run line for 20% less, and that's what it's seeing. And that's
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
That's
and if that doesn't feel great for you, I don't blame you, I guess. But yeah, that's if you think you're smarter than Vegas on that one, you know, maybe you are, or maybe they have different motivations. But
I feel like
it
I
certainly
am.
Seems to be a pretty strong signal from them.
What about a guy like Kenta Maeda, another money line guy, Maeda facing the Phillies? You know, he's pitching away from home, but he's -160. That implied run line, I have the Phillies at right around 3.7, high 3.7s. Is that a guy that you can get interested in? He falls in between those two other classes of pitchers. So in price-wise, yep. he's more expensive than Snell, but less expensive than those other top dogs that we mentioned before.
Yeah, I mean, Maeda is pretty interesting. He's essentially like a poor man's Kluber in a lot of ways. Very similar strikeout rate, slightly higher walk rate. With the big knock on him is not going deep into games. You know, hasn't
right.
pitched more than 6 innings since July 10th. He's only gone over 6 innings twice all season. So you kind of know what you're getting in him, which is usually 5 or 6 solid innings. Is that enough to win you a big tournament? Probably not. But if the savings is right and you can and you find, you know, some cheap bats come, bubble up to the surface, I think Maeda is probably just objectively safer than Snell, especially in a good matchup with the Phillies. So I think that totally a guy you could look at for cash games. It's kind of off my radar for big tournaments, though.
And I find Maeda's pitch count numbers to be a little deceiving because he last game pitched 104 pitches, which you would say, oh, good, they're like pushing him, or they're stretching him a little bit more. But the thing was with that game, they were motivated to just keep him in through 5 innings to get him the win. And
got
so
him that win, though, Doug, they did.
What's that? right,
they got
so,
him that win,
which is so dumb because he easily could have been pulled at 96 pitches again at the end of 5 or something like that. But it just they pushed him a little further just because they want to get him that stat. So I just don't believe that he's a candidate to get 100 pitches unless things shake exactly right for him in terms of just like, you know, being up in the game or something like that. So I'm just a little worried about the pitch count. That's my big worry with him is the pitch count thing. He's just not a very efficient pitcher.
I mean, you look at these games, he's frequently in like the 18 to 20 pitches per inning range, and you're just never going to pitch 7 innings.
And if you're like, if you're a fan, if you're like, if you construct your DFS rosters by like who you like to watch or something like that, I personally don't, but then do not roster this guy because between just going 3-2, 3-2 on every single batter, he takes like 7 to 8 seconds or more between pitches, and it is so like the longest innings. It's so brutal. So anyway, I can't even watch him. Anyway, after those guys, we mentioned, you know, Kluber, Syndergaard, Snell. Maeda, does anyone even jump out to you? Like Verlander against the Royals, Keuchel against the Cardinals, anything like this? I mean, Danny Duffy's been pretty good this year against the Tigers. Anything else like that even jump out to you?
Not really. I mean, nothing for me that is going to tickle my interest for cash games for sure. It's going to come down to the, you know, the Snell, Kluber, Syndergaard, Maeda tier. After that, I mean, there's so many pitchers going today. Like all the guys you just mentioned, you can make a great case for a big tournament. You can frequently make a case for a lot of different guys in big
right.
tournaments, so that's nothing new. And I should say, this is all for FanDuel. The pitcher 2 slot on DraftKings probably gets a little bit more interesting today, though I suspect as of this hour, it's going to combine some expensive guy with Blake Snell once again. But how about that 2 slot on DraftKings for you? What are you looking at there?
It's actually not doing that. It's actually going double expensive with Kluber and Syndergaard, which I'm a little surprised about.
Well, it's interesting though, right? Because it's not quite double expensive. Like it's
true.
You're getting a cut below Duffy and Verlander, who are, you know, in sort of brushing up against the outrageously expensive territory on DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if that's maybe just the way to go. But it seems like there's got to be. There seems to always be some cheap guy on DraftKings. Let me see here.
Yeah, I think I think it will push Snell up there a little more, especially if that run line moves at all. I mean, honestly, Keuchel is still pretty cheap at 8,400 that you can consider. Though the Cardinals worry me a little bit in terms of their lineup. I'm It's too early to say, really, at this point, I think.
And there's some downright bums pitching today as well.
And there's just some guys with bad matchups, you know what I mean? Like, they're the guys that aren't bad, necessarily, but right. They just run into, you know, like, Samardzija has to face the Pirates, and, you know, Jaime Garcia is up against Houston. Tyon
Gonzalez, of course.
Right, Tyon is facing a team that doesn't strike out at all in the Giants. So, these guys are talents. They have talent, but they're contextual things making up their projections just aren't really doing it. So I think you're going to end up seeing one of those guys that we mentioned earlier kind of climb up there, depending on how some of the run line moves and how some of those other teams, how some of the other teams roll out their lineups, which will affect things also. You know, like if a team has a guy they just give the day off or something like that, that will affect implied run total. So I think
maybe
that's
like Jaime Garcia, moderately interesting for a big tournament on DraftKings. The Astros do strike out a decent amount, but they're good too. So it's
right.
not a great play or anything, but yeah, I feel like I'm kind of stretching a little bit to reach outside of those top guys.
Well, so it's interesting. For tournaments, I don't mind playing a guy like Duffy because no one will play him because the matchup is bad, right? So, and he actually does have sort of similar strikeout upside to a guy like Kluber, I think. But in terms of just all things equal, not necessarily with matchup. So I don't mind going off board when you have, because many more people will play Kluber than would play Duffy. But I'm just saying to get separation in a tournament. But it's not something that interests me at all in cash games. All right, let's move on to
something that will separate you from your money.
Good one. How many times do you think in your DFS life you've made that joke? I'm going to say...
None. I don't think that's the first time I've ever made it. That's why
no
I'm
way.
Organically laughing at my own joke.
No way.
Sometimes it surprises me. I don't know how much you know about the creative muse, but sometimes for me it's just like I'm sitting at my desk and the muse flows through me.
I'm going to move on the basket.
In one window, it comes inside of me and then flows out the other. And so sometimes the hilarity, the humor just burbles up to the surface.
Over and over and over again.
I stole that from Elizabeth Gilbert's TED Talk, by the way. So. I probably should cite that.
It sounds way more douchey when you say it.
Great love, dude, if you ever want to read that book. Great.
I don't feel like you're hitting our target demographic here. all right, so moving into the bats. To me, things are somewhat crystallized even at this point, this early, assuming that lineups come in the way we think they're going to today. We have the Nationals still playing in Coors today against Bettis. Their run line, though it started a little higher, has come down a little bit, though it's still in the high fives at least, as I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's really close to six. Yeah, the Rangers coming in, sort of actually in that same area in the high fives. I have them at 5.82. So they're pretty close, and it gets interesting there because they're a little bit cheaper. After that, there's a really big drop-off in terms of implied runs on this day. So where is this kind of, does it kind of start and stop for you with those two teams, or is that safe enough? Like when you see run lines this much higher than the rest of the field, do you feel like you can just kind of make your lines between those two teams and move on?
I mean, you just kind of can't because especially the Coors guys are so expensive that even if you go cheaper on pitching on FanDuel and go with a guy like Blake Snell, you're really only looking at probably having to pick two maybe of the guys that are going to go. Obviously, in that case, Murphy and Harper are way on the top. Harper has one of the highest projections.
I think it's the highest I've seen all year.
Yeah, it's one of the highest of the season. So, I mean, it's a phenomenal spot, a phenomenal matchup. It's Bettis, right, today?
Yeah.
So I think that you're going to have to look elsewhere. It's kind of interesting with Texas, these run lines that have been coming off. Is Texas the new Coors to you? Is that an inefficiency that the market hasn't quite picked up on yet as quickly as Vegas has?
Well, you mean in terms of park?
Yeah.
Yeah, the park is great.
But is it Coors great? Because like even in other great parks, we don't see a lot of lines over 10 runs, right?
No, and I always get worried a little bit about park factors too, because I'm just not exactly sure. You know, we factor park factors into our projections in terms of just what kind of power you get from a certain place. And I always just, and I've never gotten a definitive answer. Maybe it's just for lack of looking, but about
what, lack of asking me, buddy. Go ahead. I'll
about go. Whether or not these are team regressed. You know what I mean? So like if it's you know, they are, you think?
Yep, that's exactly how they're formed.
Oh, I didn't think they were. Anyway, okay, well, so then even better, actually, for the Rangers. So the Rangers, who haven't been fielding a great team, over, especially last year, like this park ranked, I think, like fourth overall in terms of power. And so after, like, Coors and then
fourth
Cincinnati.
Fourth in terms of, like, total isolated power or
yes,
something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, in terms of, so it was the only parks above, yeah, no, fifth overall. So, so I'm not sure, like, if... And I'm also just not sure, too, like, about how much the getting into the summer affects that park, too, like, when it gets really, really hot. And so
that's the big thing is, yeah, the temperature, you know, and the kind of heat they have there. It's a drier heat, so, you know, the humidity doesn't oppress the long ball, et cetera, et cetera. But,
right.
But yeah, no, I think the heat is a real thing. I guess my thing is, like, we're still not having to pay a premium for those bats down there.
Exactly.
But the, I mean, so just to give you a sense of perspective, they've played, let's see here, 6 games at home since their most recent road trip. The over has come in on 3 of those, and the under's come in on the other 3, so maybe we're not really learning much, but there's a 2-0 game here, a 7-0 game where they got shut out. They got shut out in back-to-back games against Detroit.
I think the thing with their run line is a combination of Park, and their lineup is just really good now. So after the trade deadline, they basically get rid of, like, Ryan Rua and, like, I don't even know, Robinson Chirinos or something like that, and replace them with Beltran and Luke Roy. And when you do that,
yeah, good point.
When you do that to your team, you just now you have kind of like as good an offense that there is in the league, really, with them. So you get a combination of them not being price adjusted necessarily because of the park, plus they have a super deep team. And actually, we're definitely going to get some kind of value today because Shin-Soo Choo broke his arm yesterday, and so. Now, I mean, I think Profar will hit leadoff, but it doesn't even matter. Someone is going to hit leadoff in favor of Chu that is not priced like a leadoff hitter, whether it be Profar, whether they hit Odor there, maybe. You know what I mean? So, like,
I don't really appreciate you dancing on Chu's grave, by the way. Poor guy.
Mean?
Breaks his arm.
I feel bad for
him. You're
over
here celebrating, rubbing your hands.
Don't get me wrong. Shin-Soo Choo was a DFSR favorite. That guy. Like kind of like an Jason Hayward thing, an optimal lineup. We never saw an optimal lineup that didn't want to have that guy in there. So, like,
interestingly, DFSR also called Rougned Odor when before he was even in the majors. Before we figured out how to get guys out of the system who weren't even in the majors yet.
Oh, that was like a Joey Gallo. That was the Joey Gallo. Yeah, the Joey Gallo problem. They're like, you got to start Joey Gallo today. I know he's in the minors right now, but
Odor,
this guy's
classic.
Crushing.
The guy's never even played. And then people are like, who even is this guy? No, he's good. So we called it.
So the Rangers are just a really, really interesting team overall. Like I said,
those are great points about the trade deadline acquisitions. I think that is a big deal. And even if that hasn't, you know, come to call just yet, stands to reason that it will soon.
Yeah, and so you're going to get a value there almost for sure. Like I said, Profar, you maybe get Mazzara moving up in the lineup. They're hitting Mazzara 9th. He's awesome. So, like, this is just a very, very deep team. It's funny,
and
too.
It also is, I guess, worth pointing out that the A's are pitching someone called Andrew Triggs today.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good sign. Triggs is a very strange pitcher, by the way. He was, like, kind of just not good. And then all of a sudden, last year, topped 10 Ks per 9. In the Orioles system in AA, but he's an old prospect. He's like 27 and change, so chances are good. You know, the Occam's razor here is that he's might not be a major league quality pitcher, but you know, we kind of can't tell just yet.
Well, he also might be a major league quality reliever and not a starter. So like, it's just much different when you get pulled out of the pen and face something in like sort of an optimal matchup for you and your skill set.
Oh, that's a great call. I didn't even notice that all these games were.
Yeah, those are all relief appearances. So I just
what
like
the hell, he started one game in the minors before he came up to the majors.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, it's all a good spot because it's either going to be they're not facing a guy that they're going to probably can't roll through the lineup a couple times, or they're just going to be facing sort of middle bullpen arms. So I love the Rangers today, and I think, and our system does too. It's going to get guys like Profar, it's going to get guys like Beltre. He went yard last night. Really like Ian Desmond, Mazzara, if he moves up, really just about everybody is in play for me at this run line. The prices, if you can get a team that is priced, you know, 15% lower than a team like the Nationals, but coming in 20% lower, that's just the optimal place to buy. And it really is going to help you fill out your lineup. It's still going to be tough when we are staring down the barrel of, do we pay up for Kluber or Syndergaard or still save? Because you simply cannot roster all these bats in there without having our system. Like you mentioned Harper, thank God Harper. I'm saying thank God from like my own personal well-being, that sure. He's actually been good the last couple days since coming back from injury. Like this is a guy that if this is the first time listening to this podcast or you the first time going to the chat room or just really the first time at all on our site, this is a guy we spent countless hours talking about this year simply because he's I understand he's a very, very frustrating player when you've been rostering him day after day and he went through a pretty healthy slump. So it's just because DFS is a what have you done for me lately venture for a lot of people, not for me personally, but for a lot of other people. It is just better for my own psyche to like his last two games to just, he's been great. So it won't.
Yeah. Well, when Harper's not going well, there's like a few guys that I know that if they're not doing well, I just have to avoid you, kind of like a brooding spouse, you know?
I almost have to avoid the chat room. I have to, like, make concentrated efforts to just make sure I'm only in there for certain periods of time because I know I'm going to end up answering the same questions over and over again. I think I'm going to get a decreased likelihood of that. It's a shame that he actually has been good over the last couple of days because the price climbed a little bit. I think we could have, if he had just maybe been able to run bad for, like, one more day, we could have grabbed him in the low 4,000s again, but he's back up to 4,600.
Yeah, not in the course.
Well, I don't know because he was only...
I bet he'll go back the other way fairly soon here.
Yeah, well, so anyway, he's a must-play for me in cash. No doubt about it. On both sides, he's a bat that I'm totally willing to do. Daniel Murphy's the same way, just middle of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Even though again, Dusty Baker has not figured out how to stagger righty lefties in his lineup still yet. So he just went two righties in a row against the lefty yesterday, and then two lefties. So you can just bring in a lefty to face him. He just has no clue, but what even like the very very basics about lineup construction. But
he's doing his best, dude.
His best isn't good enough. That's from a movie. I can't remember which one. So we mentioned Nationals and Texas bats. Let's look at a couple one-offs here that if we need to save along the margins to either pay up for pitching or to get some more of those more prolific offenses in there. Are there a couple guys out there at different positions that you can see that you strike you as maybe just one-off value today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess there's two different kinds of lineups that will come together today. There's the you can pay up for every bat lineups and then the ones that you can't because he'd take an expensive pitcher.
Right.
Ortiz coming up again, you know, just like he does. The Dodgers guys, Adrian Gonzalez and Chase Utley.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this, actually.
Are coming up to the system as well, so I think I do like that. What were you going to ask?
Well, I was going to ask, I'm glad you brought it up because I had skipped over my notes. So the Dodgers today play Vincent Velasquez,
yeah,
who's actually kind of good, but their run line is really high. And so I know it's in Philly, but they're coming in at somewhere like in the high fours, I think. Is this strike you as like trappy or are we missing something here? Because Velasquez, like I said, has been pretty good over all things considered this year. And the Dodgers just have one of the higher implied run totals on the day.
Yeah, well, so I think I can break down what the system is seeing there and what Vegas is seeing as well. So the first thing on Velasquez is worth noting is the fly ball rate. Mm-hmm. So the thing with Velasquez, I mean, the strikeout rate is phenomenal. The walk rate is below average, but it's really, for him, always the question of what happens when the ball hits the bat.
Right.
He gives up a ton of hard contact. And when you give up that much hard contact and only 35.5% of those turn into ground balls, that's kind of a recipe for disaster. I mean, Philly has less of a reputation as a bandbox recently just because the Phillies haven't, you know, fielded very good lineups.
Right.
So half the guys playing in Philly on any given day generally stink, but 35.5% is a bottom eight ground ball rate in the majors this year. Velasquez qualified, so I think pretty sure that's just what it's seeing. And the Dodgers, again, are a team going from a terrible hitter's park into a good hitter's park, and that's oftentimes just tough for the casual fan sort of to account for. So I do trust it today. I do think that you know, as a Mets fan, watching Chase Utley hit countless huge home runs as a Philly against the Mets there leads me to believe he's going to have a big day today.
That's as good a process. Oh, the Mets fan multiplier. That's good. I'm going to I'll make sure I click that
one. Yeah, well, as a Mets fan, my eyeball test on Utley is now spot on. I've just seen him do it so many times when I didn't want him to. So.
He's a guy that the Dodgers are striking me as a team that our system is going to pull out as value that not many others will, I don't think, because it just doesn't seem like this is a spot where you should play a team. Like, because they're facing what, you know, what we said is, you know, a fine enough pitcher. And so, I don't know, that is going to be one of those value spots that I think will probably be a little bit different than the rest of the field on, with guys like Gonzalez and Utley, maybe even Seager, but those guys sort of hitting at the top of the lineup.
Sure, worth noting on the Dodgers as well, you can't look at just general run trends for them. You really, really do have to key in on the verse right versus lefty thing, because you mentioned they're big lefties, but Justin Turner is also a reverse platoon split guy. They're top 10 in terms of WOBA against righties for this season. So
they add Reddick.
All those factors combined, it's a worthwhile gamble.
Yeah, they add Reddick in the middle of the lineup at the trade deadline, exactly. which greatly increases their success.
And just right, talking about adding to a strength. Like, if they face a righty, they're in great shape.
All right, and before we wrap things up, just a couple other guys to mention today on DraftKings. There's a couple interesting – well, so for instance, DraftKings is basically daring you to play Justin Upton against Duffy at 2,200. And 2,200 is as low as you're really ever going to see.
Yeah, that's a game of chicken right there.
Right, exactly. So I know Duffy's good and Upton's Upton, whatever, he K's a ton. But 2,200, if he's hitting like sixth in the lineup, it's just – it's kind of an I dare you situation, save up somewhere else and just, or pay up somewhere else and play him. So
yeah, and you only need to add up Upton's points from his last 8 games to pay his price today. So
you want to use the old
all those factors combined.
He's so due.
Super due, for sure.
Ryan Rayburn, if he's able to crack the middle of the lineup against the lefty, is interesting. At only 3,300, he's a guy that would probably pop up there if he can slide into the fifth spot if they play the ready lefty platoon. And then
yeah, I think Upton, if we're going to be choosing between those two guys, give me Upton for two reasons. The first is that, at least Upton is a reliable part of the lineup. Rayburn, oftentimes when he does play, he just gets pulled later in the game for a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. So not a guy that you can just jam in as a lefty crusher and hope that he's going to make it through the game. Also, just 2,200 is essentially just like passing on the position. And if you really do want to get Harper in there in the 5,000s, and you want to pay double high at pitching, yep. Upton, for me, just makes a lot more sense.
He's a necessary evil, sort of. And like I said, this is price dependent. He could be 3,000 and it would actually be close, but 2,200 is just free. And then over on FanDuel, still coming as sort of a value is a guy like Alex Bregman, who, if he's hitting in the middle of the lineup, sure. I know Garcia is a fine enough pitcher, but Houston does go righty basically through the first 4 slots of their lineup, and at only 2,700 on FanDuel, 3,500 on DraftKings, that's still just a great enough value for his skill set and makeup. And I obviously like the recent turn of narrative on him has changed just because he was able to not be the most unlucky player to ever be brought up, although he's dipped back down into he's over his last 13. So I read that wrong. No, he's 3 for his last 13. So anyway, so maybe
but it's so funny on Bregman, right? I think he's a great example of how opportunity makes such a big difference, because you're like, yeah, still like the season line is pretty unimpressive. But when you combine, first of all, salary, still 2,700 on FanDuel, with opportunity, you just get these situations. So like, you're like, yeah, 1 for 6, that's not that good. Well, when you bat second, you're more likely to get more at bats. 1 for 5, 1 for 5. He's on a good team that is going to generate a lot of runs and get him a lot of at bats. Yeah, Garcia is a good pitcher, but Garcia is not Clayton Kershaw or Chris Sale or something like that. So I think that's a fine spot for sure.
And mostly, like I said, we're talking about being able to save in a couple of key areas so that we can grab the value on the top end of things, which there is plenty to think about today. All right, that is it for us today. We're going to be back. A couple things coming up in the near future. We are going, James and I are taking part in an experts live fantasy draft tonight through Blog Talk Radio, which we're really excited about, which we will broadcast on our channel coming tomorrow or the next day. So keep an eye out for that, which will then start to lead off a series of podcasts that we're going to do coming into the NFL season and then all throughout the NFL as we broadcast maybe 3 to 4 times a week with NFL stuff. So we're really getting really pumped up for NFL.
Point of clarification, just so people aren't just cripplingly disappointed when they hear the thing. Doug is actually going to be the person on the air. I'm going to be more like Obama's speechwriter, kind of in the background, feeding you all the lines that you become famous for and sounding really brilliant. So when we take insert guy X here in the 7th round, and everyone says, "Wow, Doug, you did it again." Just know that there's a man behind the man.
Yeah, the puppeteer
as well.
Yeah, you're the puppet master in the background. So we have that coming up, and then also coming out very, very soon, we are going to be releasing our 2016 NFL tools, which is a much, much more robust interface than we've ever had on DFSR before. Really, really excited about that. That should be out, I would say, what do you think, in the next less than a week, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have a phone call about that today. We're going to look at the timeline for that. So a lot of stuff to get really excited about with NFL as we wind down the baseball season as well. Really, really exciting time of year. Once again, DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. Go over, get all the free content you want. We should have our free NFL ebook coming up this week, and you can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab. Helps you one button calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, MLB right now, and like we said, NFL coming very soon. Buddy, I'll talk to you again tomorrow.